西呢，各位尊敬的封建本人们，今天是2020年7月30日，星期四。今天呢，我们又非常荣幸的邀请到我们尊敬的 Seeker 爬步继续为我们讲述为什么在稳达万讲下恶魔的逍遥时光，欢迎大家聆听。
Hare Krishna, good morning to everybody.
Hare Krishna, 大家早上好。
I apologize for missing last week, but we had something else to do.
非常抱歉，我上周呢没能讲课，因为有一些其他的事情要做。
So let's begin. We'll recite the prayers and then we shall talk about Bakasura today.
让我们先念诵一些祷文，然后呢，我们来讲述Bakasura的逍遥时光。
Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena.Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Tama Krishna Goswami Itinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate BhaktivedantaSwami iti namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta PadakamalamShri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna PadamSahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Vipa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate VasudevayaOm Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraya Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Give me 1 minute.
Okay, 再稍等一会儿。
So, last time, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the killing of Vatsasura.
在两周之前呢，上一次讲课当中，我们谈论的杀掉Vatsasura 的故事。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Did you translate that?
Yes.
Yes. So this is where we have been speaking from chapter 11. This is chapter 11. So in chapter 11, the killing of two demons takes place.
这是呢，在第十一章，在这一章中呢，是杀掉了两个恶魔。
One is Vatsasura and the other is Bakasura.
一个呢是Vatsasura， 另外一个呢是 Bakasura。
And the title of the chapter is the childhood pastimes of Krishna.
这章的那个标题呢是 Krishna 的这个孩童时代的逍遥时光。
So this chapter describes many things, actually. A lot is happening in this chapter.
事实上呢，这一章就是描述了很多的事情，很多的事件在这一章当中发生。
It describes the reaction of the residents of Vrindavan, you know, when Krishna pulled down the two trees. It describes the reaction, their reaction to that incident.
这章中呢，首先描述了当 Krishna 他拉倒两个阿朱纳树之后呢，文达文的居民他们的反应。
It discusses how they moved from Gokula to Vrindavan.
他也描述了这些文达文的居民是如何从 Gokula 搬到了文达文。
It discusses how Krishna and Balaram began to herd the calves.
然后呢，也描述了 Krishna 和 Balarama 是如何开始放牧这些牛犊。
And then it also describes again the killing of Vatsasura and today Bakasura.
同时呢，他也描述了 Krishna 杀死这个 Vatsasura 以及 Bakasura。恶魔的逍遥时光。
And it also describes a little bit of, well, I said that Krishna beginning herding the calves.
然后呢，也描述了 Krishna 他开始放牧这些牛犊。
So there's quite a lot in the chapter.
所以呢，这就是这章中所谈论的这些不同的主题。
In many ways, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is, in some ways, it's like a summary of Krishna's pastimes.
在圣涅薄伽瓦坛的第十篇呢，基本上是对于 Krishna 逍遥时光的一个描述，一个概述。
You may have heard in the past that the different cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they represent different parts of the Lord's body.
你们大家可能还记得，就是圣涅薄伽瓦坛不同的篇章呢，代表着主 Krishna 不同的躯体的部位。
The first canto, obviously represents his lotus feet.
第一篇呢，代表着主 Krishna 的莲花主。
Let me post that verse. But the Bhagavatam represents the different cantos of the Bhagavatam represent the different parts of Lord Krishna's body.
所以呢，就是 Krishna 他不同的。这个圣涅薄伽瓦坛不同的篇章代表着 Krishna 他不同的躯体的部位。
Find that.
Yeah, 稍等一下。
I'm just finding that so I can post it for you.
Okay. 他不需要 找一下，然后贴到我们这个对话框里。
We all know the Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses.
我们都知道这个圣殿宝加瓦坛呢，它有18,000个世界。
The Srimad Bhagavatam has 18,000 verses and 12 cantos, right? 12 parts.
有呢这个12篇。
And each of the cantos represent different parts of the Lord's transcendental body.
所以呢，每一篇呢都代表着属奎士那超然躯体的不同的部位。
Sorry, I'm just trying to find the verse for that.
Okay. 大家稍等一下。
I'll have to post it later. I can't find it now.
Okay, 稍后呢，他不会给我们大家贴出来。
I mean, I remember, but the verse. Anyway, the first canto represents the lotus feet of the Lord.
第一篇呢就代表着主奎士那的莲花主。
The second canto represents the calf, you know, the calf, the from the knee to the foot.
Oh.
You know that, right? The, from the knee, below the knee, until the ankle. below the knee, until the ankle.
就是呢，第二篇呢，代表着 Krishna 他的那个小腿的这个部位。
Right, that's below the knee to the ankle. In English, we call it the calf.
就是从这个脚踝到这个膝盖的部位。
And then the third and fourth canto represent the two thighs of the Lord.
Two thighs?
Thighs, the knee. You don't know the thighs.
Okay. 就是第三到第四篇代表着是主奎士那的大腿。
The fifth canto is the waist of the Lord.
第五篇呢代表着 Krishna 的这个腰部。
The sixth canto is his stomach.
第六篇呢代表着他的这个胃部。
Right, the sixth canto would be the whole torso. That means chest and stomach.
所以呢第六篇呢就代表着他的整个的这个上身的部位，这个胃部还有胸部。
Seven and eight are his two arms.
七到八篇呢代表着他的两个臂膀。
The ninth canto is his neck.
第九篇呢代表着他的脖子的部位。
The tenth canto, of course, is his lotus face.
当然了，第十篇就代表着他的莲花脸。
I recall, I think the eleventh canto, is his forehead.
第十一篇呢就是代表着他的这个前额。
And then the 12th canto is his crown.
第十二篇呢就代表着他的这个皇冠。
So we all know, to really know a person, we have to, you know, be familiar with their face.
所以呢我们知道要了解一个人的话，首先要清楚他的这个脸部。
We might look at their feet, or we might look at their stomach, or we might look at their arms, but it only gives us a partial idea of who they are.
所以呢，我们当看一个人的时候呢，就是我们也有可能是看到他的这个臂膀呀，他的这个胃部啊，他的身体的部位，但是只有这只是给到我们一部分的局部的这个视域。
Of course, every part of the Lord's body is absolute.
当然了，主的这个不同躯体的部位呢，它都是绝对的。
But the example still remains.
但是呢，就是还是有这样的一个就是不同的
No, the example still applies.
但是呢，就是这个例子呢，仍然在这里是适用的。
Just by looking at a person's foot, we don't really understand the person.
就仅仅通过看这个人的脚的话，我们并不能去理解这个人。
Or by looking at a person's arms, right? We don't understand the person. Not fully. We don't fully understand the person.
仅仅通过去看到这个人的臂膀呢，并不能完全的了解他。
Ultimately, to understand the person, we need to see their face.
所以呢，终极来说，我们想要理解一个人，必须要看到他的脸部。
So in a similar way, to get the full picture of who Krishna is, then we have to come to the 10th canto. We have to read and know about the 10th canto in order to understand who Krishna is.
所以呢，为了能够充分去理解到 Krishna 到底是谁，我们就需要去阅读第十篇，需要了解 Krishna。
The other cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, mostly they describe other avatars of the Lord, other expansions of the Lord.
在圣涅不加瓦坛的其他的篇章呢，它是描述了 Krishna 他的不同的这些化身，这些扩展。
Certainly, there are some descriptions of Lord Krishna in the different cantos, but not so much.
当然了，在不同的这些篇章中都有关对于主 Krishna 的描述，但并不是那么多。
Mostly, the other cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they describe other avatars of the Lord, Lord Nrisimhadev, or Lord Rama, etc., etc.
在圣涅巴加瓦坛其他的篇章呢，都是描述了 Krishna 其他的这些化身，像主尼辛哈、主 Rama 等等。
But as we all know, the 10th canto only talks about Krishna.
但是呢，我们知道在第十篇当中呢，只描述了主 Krishna。
But Sukadeva Goswami, he had a challenge.
但 Sukadeva Goswami 呢，他面临着挑战。
What was his challenge?
他的挑战是什么呢?
He wasn't only speaking to Parikshit Maharaj. He was speaking to many different kinds of people who were there.
他呢，就是当时并不只是对帕瑞克西德王在讲述，他呢是给不同的这些人在讲圣涅巴加瓦坛。
You may remember from the first canto when Parikshit Maharaj understood he was cursed and he would die. He went to the bank of the Jamuna and became part of a group of sages.
我们可能还记得，就是在第一篇当中呢，帕瑞克西的王呢，他受到的诅咒将要死去，于是呢，他就去到了亚姆纳河岸边，成为了这些圣人中的一部，在圣人当中。
And then they asked him, "What should I do? I'm going to die soon. What should I do?"
他就在那儿想呢，我将要死去了，我应该做什么呢？
And they gave different answers.
那些人呢，就给了他不同的一些答案建议。
Because some of them were gyani, some of them were yogis. Not all of them were, you know, pure devotees of Krishna.
因为 那些圣人当中呢，有些人他是那个Gyani， 有的是瑜伽师，有的呢，他们并不是纯粹的奉献者。
Some, of course, there were great devotees there also, but not all of them. They were all mixed up, all different kinds of sages and yogis and gyanis and so on.
当然了，肯定也有一些非常纯粹的伟大的灵魂，但是呢，在那当中呢，还是有很多那个混杂了的那些人士，就比如说那些圣哲呀、瑜伽师呀、知识思辨家呀。
So when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking about Krishna, in one sense, he had to be a little bit careful.
所以呢，当 Sukadeva Goswami 他在讲述圣涅伯加瓦坛的时候呢，从一方面来说，他需要非常的小心谨慎。
Because as we know, Krishna's activities are particularly difficult to understand.
因为呢，主 Krishna 他的这个活动呢，其实是非常难以理解的。
And he's stealing butter, he's dancing with the gopis, and you know, such and such.
比如说他偷黄油啊，他与牧牛姑娘共舞。
And very soon,we will begin the pastime when Lord Brahma steals the boys and the calves.
很快呢，我们将会来谈到主婆罗诃摩偷走了这些男孩们以及这些小牛犊的小小时光。
And he himself, he is a great devotee of the Lord.
他本人呢是主 Krishna 的伟大的奉献者。
But he was used to seeing his Lord as Lord Narayana, right? The supreme, opulent personality of Godhead. He was not used to seeing Krishna.
所以呢，主Brahma 呢，他通常习惯于看到主 Narayana 那个富丽堂皇的形象。
He was not used to seeing Krishna.
他呢并不习惯看到这个主 Krishna 的这个形象。
So he became confused. Is this Krishna? Is he my Lord? He's stealing butter. He's doing this. He's doing that. He seems to be very ordinary.
然后呢，当他看到 Krishna 这个形象的时候，他就受到迷惑了。难道这就是我的主吗？这个还偷黄油，还干这些普通常识的这个看起来像普通的小男孩一样的，难道就是我的主吗？
This is not something that Lord Narayan does.
这可不是主南亚呢所干的事啊。
So he was confused.
所以呢，他都感到迷惑了。
So among all the people Sukadeva Goswami was speaking to, he needed to be careful what he says.
所以呢，在 Sukadeva Goswami 面向他所要讲述的这些人群呢，他需要非常的小心谨慎。
Of course, we know he was primarily speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, but many other kinds of people were there, and they didn't all have the same devotion or the same faith as Parikshit Maharaj.
当然了，就是。刚开始的时候他是向这个帕瑞克西德王讲述了但是呢这其他的这些不同的人群呢他们并不像帕瑞克西德王那样拥有那么多的奉爱和信心。
They were all at, I mean, they were all great sages, no doubt. They were all renounced rishis and yogis, definitely.
当然了毫无疑问他们都是圣哲。他们呢也都是这些非常气绝的这些瑜伽师啊这些圣哲们。
They were all on the spiritual path of self-realization.
他们都处在自我觉悟的这个道路当中。
But they, not all of them were, you know, pure devotees with great faith in Krishna and so on and so on.
但是呢他们并不全都是 Krishna,纯粹的奉献者对主拥有那么多的信心等等。
So Sukadeva Goswami had to, his challenge was certainly to glorify Krishna, to, you know, so everyone would understand Krishna's supreme nature and position, but also not to say so much that some of them might misunderstand.
当然了，释迦牟尼佛格什瓦米他需要非常的小心。就是呢，当他去荣耀 Krishna 的时候呢，他可以谈论有关 Krishna 的他的本性、他的地位，但是呢，他对于 Krishna 他不能谈了那么多，以至于让他们受的迷惑。
So sometimes in the 10th canto, certain pastimes are summarized. He doesn't always give all the different details.
所以呢，就在《圣殿宝殿法坛》的第十篇当中呢，有时候呢，他只是做了一些概述性的讲述，并没有给到很详细的细节。
Because all these yogis and gyanis, you know, maybe they don't want to hear too much about Krishna stealing butter or Krishna dancing with young gopis. You know, they're all brahmacharis and celibates and gyan. You know, if they hear too much of that, they might think, "What is all this?"
所以呢，就是。在第十篇当中呢，就比如说有关 Krishna 偷黄油以及与牧牛姑娘跳舞的这些逍遥时光呢，他并没有描述的特别的详细，因为在场的呢还有那些瑜伽师们，还有那些知识思辨家们，他们呢都是独身整首的，他们呢都是 Brahmachari， 所以呢，如果 Krishna 如果 Sukadeva Goswami 讲述了。过多 Krishna 这个逍遥时光，他们就说，那这个主，是什么样的这个逍遥时光呀
？So he had to be careful. So sometimes he just summarizes certain pastimes or certain aspects of Krishna's pastimes.
所以呢，他有时候只做了一个概述，有关 Krishna 逍遥时光的某一方面。
But our acharyas, you know, the six Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the commentaries, in their commentaries, they oftentimes reveal much more detail.
但是呢，就是六个苏阿米呢，以及我们的这些伟大的评述家们，他们呢，就是在这个评论当中，就像。我们这些所熟知的这些圣人们，他们都做了详细的这个概述。
They give more detail.
他们就是描述了很多的细节。
Even at the end of this chapter, chapter 11.
就即便是在这个十一章的这个结尾之处。
There is after Krishna killed Bakasura.
就是呢。在 Krishna 杀了这个巴克苏拉恶魔之后呢，也有相关的一些描述。
It describes because we'll talk about the Leela in a minute, but the cowherd boys were, you know, speaking about Krishna killing Bakasura and then they entered into the village of Vrindavan.
我们呢一会儿来讲这个逍遥时光，在这个。Krishna 杀掉这个恶魔之后呢，这些男孩们他们就平凡的 Krishna 他们呢一边在谈论着这个事情。
So then all you know Nanda Maharaj and others they all began to talk about this incident and then they began to talk about Krishna generally and he's stealing butter, he's doing this, he's doing that and so on and so on.
对呢 ，Nanda Maharaj 还有其他人呢，他们也。开始来谈论起 Krishna 这些不同的逍遥时光，就比如说他偷黄油啊，他干了这个事情，做了那个事情，等等这些有意思的事情。
So as they were doing this, some cowherd men they came from some distance away and they were visiting Nanda Maharaj.
在他们在谈论的时候呢，有一些。离他们有一段距离的这些牧牛郎呢，他们就开始来到。就是加入了他们。
They came from some distance.
他们来自于给他们有一段距离。
And they were hearing all this talk about Krishna and Balaram, all family talk.
他们呢都听到他们的整个这个家族都在谈论有关 Krishna and Balaram 的逍遥时光。
So these cowherd men, they were elderly.
这些牧牛郎呢，他们更为年长一些。
And by this time, Nanda Maharaj was also, you know, he was also a bit elderly. When he had Krishna, he wasn't like 20 years old. He was a bit older than that.
所以呢, Nanda Maharaj, 他这时候也是比较年纪大一点, 因为当他有Krishna的时候呢, 他可不是20岁就有了Krishna, 他是年纪稍微大一点。
Maybe he was middle-aged, something like that.
可能是在中年的时候他才得到了Krishna。
Something like that. But anyway, so they said, you know, you're already middle-aged. Why are you talking so much about family affairs? You should talk more about spiritual realization, becoming detached from the family. But you're just talking about your child, and he's doing this, and he's doing that.
所以呢，他们就感到疑惑了。 你现在处在这个年龄了，为什么还在谈论这些家庭事务呢？应该去谈论那些灵性的有关气觉方面的话题。但是呢，你现在还在谈论呢，你的孩子今天干了这个事情，明天干了那个事情。You
should be speaking more about self-realization, becoming detached from your family, and so on and so on.
应该更多的谈论有关自我觉悟，去。 离弃你的家庭，类似的这样的话题。So
Sukadev Goswami, he had this similar challenge.
所以呢，Sukadeva Goswami呢，他也面临着同样的挑战。Sometimes
he gave more explanation, sometimes he just summarized, because he wanted everyone who was in the audience to be able to accept and grow and appreciate Krishna more.
然后呢，他有时候呢，对 Krishna 这个逍遥时光呢，他做出了这个详细的解释。有的时候他只是概述，他想让他的听众呢，他们都能接受他所讲述的，而且呢，就逐步的发展起对 Krishna 的这种奉爱和信心。So
this chapter 11 is very much a summary.
所以呢，就是这个第11章呢，其实更多的是一个概述。
Of the response of the residents to Krishna's pulling down the trees.
他描述了主 Krishna 在拉倒这个树之后呢, Vrindavan 居民他们的反应。
How the residents moved from Gokula to Vrindavan.
这个 Vrindavan 的居民是如何从 Gokula 搬到了 Vrindavan。
How Krishna began herding the calves.
Krishna 呢也开始放牧牛犊。
How he killed Vatsasura, how he killed Bakasura.
以及呢，他是如何杀掉了这个Vatsasura以及Bakasura。
And then finally, the response, how the cowherd men and others talked about these events.
以及呢，那些牧牛郎以及其他人是如何来谈论这个逍遥时光的？他们的这个反应是什么？So
it's very much a summary.
所以呢，真的就是一种概述。But
again, our acharyas they reveal much more detail for each and every one of these incidences in their commentary.
我们的这些阿查亚们呢，他们在他们的评述当中呢，对每一个这样的逍遥时光都做了细节性的一些描述。So,
so let's speak about Bakasura.
那我们来谈一下。
So it's act like the killing of Vatsasura. It's a very short pastime.
有关巴卡舒拉的逍遥时光呢，其实非常短呢。Just
finding my notes. By the way, as I mentioned before, I'm compiling a lot of notes for out this talk, all the talks that we have been giving.
顺便提一下，就是关于呢，我所讲述的这些，我每一次呢都会把不同的这些要点，笔记上的这些要点给编辑在一起。
And once we finish this particular, these all these pastimes, then of course we'll have it translated, and then we'll print it as a little booklet, which I'll share with everybody.
在我每讲完一个小小时光之后呢，以后就是把这个已经翻译过的，包括是已经给大家讲过的这些要点呢，我们把它弄成一个笔记本，然后到时候分给大家。
Like a book, it'd be like a book.
就像是一本书一样。
With a lot of information.
内容呢就是包含了很多的信息。
So that will only happen when we finish all the demons. So we still have many to go.
就是我刚才谈到的这一点呢，就是当我们谈论完所有的这些恶魔之后，我们还有很多的没有讲呢。
So, the pastime itself is not very long.
这个逍遥时光本身并不长。
Like the killing of Vatsasura, the calf demon. Also, it was just 5 or 6 verses.
有关那个牛魔拉特苏若的，他的这个逍遥时光也是只有五六个四节而已。
So this particular pastime, Krishna killing Bakasura, is also not very long.
所以呢 ，Krishna 杀掉这个巴克苏若的逍遥时光也并不长。
It's also how long? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 10 verses. It's about 10 verses.
所以这个是这个小小时光呢，大概就是十个世界左右。
And half of that is the response of the residents of Vrindavan. After they heard Krishna killed, half of the verses describe their response.
所以呢，有一半的时节呢，是描述了当 Krishna 杀掉这个恶魔之后，文达文的居民他们的反应。
So it's also a short pastime.
所以呢，是一个非常简短的一个逍遥时光。
So as you remember, by this time, Kamsa understood that the eighth child, that Krishna is probably the eighth child.
在这个时候呢，康萨其实他已经明白了，就是 Krishna 呢，他就是这第八个孩子，第八个儿子。
You remember, when Kamsa sent Putana and the cart demon, he was just sending them to kill children generally.
我们可能还记得，当康萨呢，他派普特呢以及这个车魔的时候呢，他只是去杀那些普通的那些婴孩，并没有说特意杀 Krishna。
Because he didn't know where the eighth child was, he was completely confused.
因为他们还不知道第八个儿子在哪呢，他完全是迷惑的状态。
And he was even more confused because Vasudev, the eighth child, was a girl.
而且呢，那当他得知这个 Vasudeva 的第八个孩子是一个女儿的时候呢，他是更为迷惑了。
Because we know Vasudev exchanged the girl for Krishna, but Kamsa didn't know that.
因为我们知道，Vasudeva 呢把他的第八个女儿，孩子呢跟这个女孩交换了，但是呢，Kamsa并不知道。
And then this, as we know.You know, when Kamsa tried to kill the girl, then she escaped from his hands and appeared as Durga Devi.
所以呢，当康萨想要杀掉这个婴儿，这个女孩的时候呢，这个女孩她就跳到了空中，然后呢，她就显现为 Durga Deva 的形体。
And then she said, the child who will kill you is already born somewhere else.
她说会杀掉你的那个男孩呢已经在别处了。
So then he became more confused.
所以呢康莎就变得更为迷惑。
But by the time of Vatsasura, he had an idea. This Krishna person from his spies, right? Because he has spies. He's a king, so he has spies going here and there, finding out.
所以呢，就是在 Krishna 杀这个 Vatsasura 恶魔的时候呢，这个康莎由于他有一些间谍。他派他的这个间谍去四处搜寻 Krishna， 所以他就知道了这个第八个孩子就是 Krishna。
He had an idea. He wasn't sure, but he began to suspect.
他呢并不是完全的确定，他是有一点心智思辨的成分。
That maybe this son of Nanda Maharaj, the spies are telling me this son of Nanda in Vrindavan, cowherd Nanda Krishna.He is the one who's been killing the demons.
他呢就是通过他的这些间谍告诉他的，他当时就推测，可能这个牧牛郎这 Nanda Maharaj 他的这个儿子 Krishna， 他杀了这么多的恶魔。
So perhaps he is the child.
可能他就是那个男孩。
And that's when he sent Vatsasura.
所以呢，他就后来又派了这个瓦塔苏拉过来。
Because he heard from his spies, right, that Krishna likes calves.
因为呢，他从他的这个间谍口中呢得知 Krishna 他是非常喜爱这些牛犊的。
So then he sent Vatsasura, but then Vatsasura was killed.
所以呢，他就派过来这个瓦塔苏拉，但是呢，瓦塔苏拉也被杀掉了。
So.Again, he heard from his spies. Oh, Vatsasura has been killed.
所以呢，他后来就从他的这些间谍处得知，哦，瓦塔苏拉也被杀掉了。
So he became more and more worried.
所以他变得越来越焦虑。
So then his ministers, who were all demons, mostly, not all, but mostly demons.
他那些手下的大臣们呢大部分都是恶魔并不是全部都是
So they suggested Let's send Bakasura
所以呢他们就给了他一个建议让我们把 Bakasura 恶魔派去吧
Anyone who knows Bakasura They know he is really bad
任何一个了解 Bakasura 恶魔的人都知道他真的特别的坏
So they gave him this idea.
所以呢，他们就得出这样的结论。
So sometimes, and remember, all of these demons, they have their mystic powers.
就是呢，有关这恶魔呢，他们都有自己的这些玄秘的力量。
So they have their human forms, but they also can transform into other forms.
他们有他们的作为人的这个形象，但是呢，他们也可以就是变化成不同的形象。
Or their original forms might be a particular animal, but they can transform into some human-like form.
他们的这个原型呢，有的是动物的这个形象。但是呢，就是他们是可以转变成人类的形象的。
So Bakasura in the Bhagavatam, he is described as having the form of a duck.
所以呢，就是 Bakasura 呢，在《圣铁布加瓦坛》当中呢，描述他有这个鸭子的这个形象。
But sometimes.In other scriptures, he is described as being a crane.
但是呢，有时候在别的地方呢，描述说他是一个鹤的形象。
Oh, so you know the word, crane.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in either case, he's some kind of a bird.
就不管在哪一种形象当中，它都是一种鸟的一个形体。
The Bhagavatam says a duck.
在圣殿保加瓦坛中呢，就说它是这个鸭的这个形体。
But Jiva Goswami, in his writing, he says he is a crane.
但是呢 ，Jiva Goswami 在他的著作当中呢，就把它描述成是这个鹤的这个形体。
And if we read the descriptions of Bakasura, he seems to be more like a crane, less like a duck.
所以呢，如果我们去了解有关这个巴克苏尔的描述的话呢，其实它更多的像这个鹤，而不是像这个鸭子。
If you do an image search for Bakasura, he looks more like a crane, not really like a duck.
所以呢，如果你去找有关这个巴克苏尔恶魔的这个证据的话呢，它其实更多的看起来像是鹤，而不是鸭子。
Anyway, some kind of a bird, maybe in between a duck and a crane.
反正就是一种鸟，也有可能是在这个鸭子和这个鹤之间的一类。
So anyway, he came to Vrindavan.
所以呢，他最终来到了 Vrindavan.
And he knew, again, through the spies of Kamsa, he knew where Krishna went every day.
通过这个康萨的这些间谍呢，他知道就是 Krishna 每一天他都去哪。
As you remember, by this time, Krishna is herding calves.
就是呢，我们大家可能还记得，在这个时候呢 ，Krishna 他已经开始放牧这些牛犊了。
So he's not at home.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他并不在家。
When Putana came, Krishna was at home. He was in the house.
当 Putana 恶魔来的时候呢 ，Krishna 他在家里，在他的屋子里。
Because he was just very young.
因为那时候他还太小。
When the cart demon, so you know, Putana was more or less killed in the house.
所以呢 ，Putana 恶魔呢，他就是基本上是在那个屋里想要杀掉 Krishna.
But then the next demon, the cart demon, Krishna was in the courtyard.
第二个恶魔呢，这个车魔呢，当时呢 ，Krishna 他是在他的家的庭院里。
So he was a little bit older, so now he's in the courtyard. He's not just in the house. Now he's in the courtyard of the house.
当时呢 ，Krishna 是更为大了一点，所以呢，他就在他家里的这个庭院里，而不是在屋子里待着。
But by the time of Vatsasura, he's outside of the house and he's outside of the courtyard because now he's older, so he's spending a little bit more time away from home.
所以呢，因为这个时候呢 ，Krishna 当巴克苏若要过来杀他的时候呢，他是更为大了。然后呢，所以呢，他既不在他家里，也不在他的庭院里，在他们外面，离家有一段距离。然后呢，他会每天就是离家一段时间。
And you may remember Trinavarta, the storm demon, took Krishna from the courtyard.From his courtyard. He was a little bit older by that time, maybe 1 year old, I think. So he took Krishna from the courtyard.
你们可能还记得就是有关这个那个疯魔的话呢，他就是把 Krishna 从他家的这个庭院里面带出来了。
So,Bakasura more or less knew where Krishna and the boys would go. He knew from the spies who were always reporting to Kamsa what was going on.
所以呢，这个时候巴克苏若呢，基本上通过康萨的这个间谍的通报呢，他知道就是 Krishna 他大概会去哪里。
So he went to that place before Krishna and the boys arrived, and he just huge, right? Huge demon, a duck or a crane. And he just, you know, I guess sat down next to one of the mountains there.
所以呢，就是这个巴克舒拉呢，他就事先啊，早与奎什纳来到了他们知道要放牧这个母牛的这个这个小牛犊的地方。他呢，因为这个体格非常的巨大，所以呢，他就在这个附近的这个山周围就是停了下来。
So when all the boys saw this creature, they felt, "What is this?"
所以呢，当这些小男孩们都看到这么一个庞然大物的时候，他们都想，这到底是什么怪物啊
？Did it have some accident? Is there something wrong with it? What is it? They were not so sure what it was.
所以他们当时就想，这是不是出了什么事故啊？然后到底是哪儿不对了？所以呢，他们并不知道它到底是什么一个怪物。
So there were kind of there is this curiosity. What is it? Let's go closer and see what it is.
所以呢，当时这些男孩们都非常的好奇，他们就决定就是要走近它去弄明白到底这是怎么一个情况。
Right, because boys are always very curious, especially young children. Boys are always curious about so many things.
一般来说男孩们呢都非常的好奇所以呢他们就非常的好奇想要弄明白到底这个怪物是怎么回事
So Krishna knew it was a demon
Krishna 他知道这是一个恶魔
Straight away he knew it's a demon
所以呢Krishna 他清楚的知道这是一个恶魔
But like the other boys he was showing justSome innocent curiosity.
但是呢，就像其他的男孩们一样 ，Krishna 呢，他只是表现出他的这种非常天真的这种好奇。
So he approached also like, okay, let's see what it is. Like he didn't know, he didn't want the demon to know that he knew.
所以呢，他也是像不知道，假装不知道似的去接近这个恶魔，他不想让。这个恶魔知道他已经知道他是个恶魔了。
And when he came close enough, then the demon swallowed Krishna straight away.
所以呢，当他们就是离他足够近的时候呢，这个恶魔呢，他就直直的就跟着 Krishna 了。
As soon as Krishna came close enough with his beak, right, the Bakasura swallowed Krishna.
所以呢，当 Krishna 就是走的离他特别近的时候呢，他的用他的这个尖尖的嘴巴就把 Krishna 给吞了下去。
So I'm just posting a few things there for you.
Okay.
So it happened so quickly, and the boys, they saw that Krishna was suddenly swallowed by this creature, they all almost fainted due to worry, and you know, it happened so quickly also. All of a sudden, Krishna is swallowed by this huge creature, and they became...totally distressed and they you know sometimes when you're really distressed you can't do anything
所以呢因为这个事情发生的实在是太迅速了所以呢这些男孩们当他们看到 Krishna 被这个恶魔吞进去之后呢他们都特别的焦虑然后呢他们处在这种极度的悲伤当中他们甚至有的都晕了过去
Sometimes when we experience some distress, right, the mind becomes so confused, you just don't know what to do. You just almost, you become, you just don't know what to do.
所以呢，有时候当我们处在这种 悲伤的状态的时候呢，我们也是感到非常的迷惑，我们都不知道接下来该怎么做了。
Like Arjuna, right at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he became so distressed, he just didn't know what to do. He just sat down and said, "Krishna, I don't know what to do."
就像在《薄伽梵歌》中的阿尔朱纳一样，在刚开始的时候，他也处在这种悲伤当中，他就直接坐了下来，然后呢，他就对 Krishna 说，他不知道接下来该怎么做。
So.Because it happened so quickly, the cowherd boys, and because Krishna suddenly he swallowed, they felt so much distress, including Balaram. Including Lord Balaram, they just didn't know what to do.
因为这个事情实在是太迅速了，所以呢，就是这些男孩们，甚至包括巴拉拉嘛，他们都是感到这个非常的悲伤，不知道。该怎么办了?
Even though Balaram is the personality of Godhead, we know that. He knows everything. He could have killed the demon also.
就是巴拉拉嘛呢，即便他是自尊一个神手，他知道所发生的一切，他甚至他也可以杀掉恶魔。
But in this incident, Lord Balaram's brotherly affection.Covered his supreme understanding.
但是呢，在这个逍遥时光当中，由于他对Krishna 的这种兄弟般的这种情感，所以呢，就覆盖了他作为至尊人格守神的这么一个地位。
Although Lord Balaram knows everything, he's the supreme personality of Godhead. Also, he also could have killed the demon, but.In this incident, his brotherly affection covered that.
所以呢，尽管巴拉玛他是至尊人格守神，他知道所发生的事情，他也能杀掉恶魔，但是呢，在这个逍遥时光当中呢，他的这个兄弟般的情感，就是覆盖了他作为至尊人格守神的这么一个地位。
So he also didn't know what to do because his affection covered his.Supreme intelligence.
所以呢，就是在当下这一刻呢，这个事情发生的时候呢，巴拉拉嘛也不知道该怎么办了，因为他的这种兄弟般的情感覆盖了他作为至尊一个守神的智慧。
In the meantime, Krishna is within the mouth of this demon in his beaks.
同时呢 ，Krishna 他是待在这个恶魔的这个嘴里。
But, is a reference, and 11,
I 看一下在《圣典薄伽瓦坛》第十篇第十一章五十诗节。
Do you have the book in front of you?
Yes.
Okay, good. So you can read Prabhupada's purport.
我们来读一下，有关《圣典薄伽瓦坛》第十篇第十一章五十诗节，关于这个帕帕德的药子部分。
You can read the translation and then read the purport.
我们来。读一下这个译文和要旨。译文：本是主 Brahma 的父亲，但却以牧牛人之子的身份行事的 Krishna 变得恰是烈火，灼烧着恶魔的咽喉根部，使恶魔立刻把他吐了出来。恶魔看到 Krishna 被吞食后竟毫发无损，便立刻再次用他尖利的鸟嘴攻击 Krishna。要旨 ，Krishna 虽然始终如莲花般柔软，但在巴卡摩的喉咙中却制造了比火烧还灼热的感觉。尽管 Krishna 的全身比甘蔗还甜，但巴卡摩尝到的却是苦涩，因此立刻将 Krishna 吐了出来。正如《薄伽梵歌》第四章的第十一诗节中说道：“我根据每个人对我皈依的情况回报了他们。”非奉献者无法忍受既在内又在外的 Krishna， 当他们将 Krishna 视为敌人时，他就变成最无法忍受的对象。这里记载的巴卡恶魔的例子就表明了这一点。
So this is a very nice description.
所以这是一个非常优美的表述。
And we know, we have heard many times, Krishna, right? He is sweeter than the sweetest.
我们已经听过很多次了，就是 Krishna 比最甜美的还要甜美。
But for the demon, it was not the case.
但是对于恶魔来说却并不是这样子的。
Why? Because the demon is a demon.
为什么呢？因为恶魔就是恶魔。
And as in the verse Prabhupada quotes there, this Bhagavad Gita verse.
在要旨中呢，圣帕巴德他又引述了《薄伽梵歌》中的一个诗节。
And he doesn't give the translation, but the translation is,As someone surrenders to me, I reward them accordingly.
他并没有直接给出这个诗节的本身这个译文。这个诗节呢，就是根据我对于每个人皈依我的情况，我视其情况，沐浴恩泽。
In other words, however a soul relates to Krishna, Krishna will relate in return.
就是任何一个就是跟 Krishna 建立起关系的这个灵魂呢， Krishna 都会相应的去回应他们。
So for devotees, Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, and for them he's sweet, but for demons they don't see Krishna in that way, so Krishna responds according to their wishor their mentality.
所以呢，对于奉献的来说呢， Krishna 他是比最甜美的还要甜美，但是呢，对恶魔来说并不是这样的，因为 Krishna 呢，他是根据每个人对他的这种不同的皈依的程度去回应他们，他根据每个人的这个愿望和这个心态来回应。
SoWithin, when Bakasura swallowed up Krishna, even though Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, but, and very soft and tender, but for Bakasura, right, he was like a fire was in his throat.
就是虽然 Krishna 呢，他就是比最甜美的还要甜美，他非常的柔软。但是呢，在这个巴克苏若恶魔的喉咙当中呢，他就感受到了一种灼热的疼痛。
Although Krishna is sweetness personified, but for Bakasura, he only tasted the bitterness.
虽然 Krishna 他是甜美的一个化身，但是呢，巴克苏若恶魔呢，他这时候只是感受到了这种痛苦。
So straight away.For him, Krishna wasn't tasty, in other words.
所以就是直接说来呢，巴克苏若，对巴克苏若来说， Krishna 可不是这么的甜美。
Krishna was bitter and hot, so he spat him out.
Krishna 呢，令他感到刺痛，而且呢，非常的灼热，所以呢，他就把 Krishna 给吐了出来。
So how does this apply to us?
所以呢，这一点如何应用到我们身上呢？
So I would like to refer to the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami, text number 7.
所以呢，就是我呢，就是参考这个奉爱的甘露呢，来
教会的甘露，教会的甘露。
教会的甘露，就是在这个
Text number 7.
第七世界当中所提到的。
Do you have it?
Yes, I need to look at. 教会的甘露。稍等一下。找一下。
Text number 7.
教会的甘露的第七世界。Okay. You mean I read the words?
Yes, please.
Okay. 我们看一下这个教会的甘露的第七十节。Wait a moment.
Okay. 译文 ：Krishna 的圣名 ，Krishna 的品质 ，Krishna 的逍遥时光和 Krishna 的活动，全熟超然，就像冰糖般甜美。虽然身患愚昧无知、黄疸病之苦的人，舌头不能品尝任何的甜味，只要他每天小心唱诵 Krishna 这甜美的名字，存于舌头中的自然滋味便苏醒过来，而且疾病也会逐渐根治好，这是何等的奇妙。
And then in the purport, of course, Srila Prabhupada explains this point in much more detail.
在这个要旨当中呢，圣帕巴德他更为细节的来阐释了这一点。
So even though in the Leela here that we are readingIt says Bakasura could not appreciate Krishna's sweetness. And actually, we also. Oftentimes, we also cannot appreciate Krishna's sweetness.
就像在这个逍遥时光当中描述到这个恶魔 Bakasura 呢，他是品尝不到 Krishna 的甜美的这一特性。我们有时候也是感受不到 Krishna 的甜美的一面。
Like this verse by Rupa Goswami.
就像Rupa Goswami所描述的这个世界一样。
And oftentimes the example given is jaundice. You know that disease, jaundice?
就是比喻患了一个黄疸病的人。
You know, they turn all yellow because the poison is coming out of the body.
就是呢因为这里面的毒素它出来之后呢，就看起来有这个黄色的。
From the liver, coming from the liver.
是从这个肝部。
Very common in India.
它在印度呢，这个病非常的常见。
So when one has that disease seriously, then the medicine is the rock candy.
所以呢，就是这个疾病呢非常严重的话呢，治愈它的话呢，就用那个甘蔗。
But rock candy, but when one is sick, the rock candy actually tastes bitter. It doesn't taste sweet. It actually tastes bitter.
就用那个就是蔗糖。这个对于黄疸病来说呢，品尝这个蔗糖的时候呢，它刚开始是非常苦涩的。
But by taking the medicine, the rock candy, gradually one is able to taste the sweetness.
但是呢，随着他不断的，就是，更多的来去进食这个蔗糖的话呢，他慢慢的他就感受到这种甜味了。
The disease is gradually cured, and one can taste the sweetness more and more.
所以呢，这个疾病就渐渐的消除了，然后呢，一个人他就更多的可以品味到这个蔗糖的甜蜜。
So in a similar way, sometimes we perform our bhakti yoga, whether it's chanting Hare Krishna or doing our service or reading, or sometimes we all experience, I think, that sometimes we feel a bit bitter, not very tasty.
所以呢，同样的，就像我们一样，我们呢在从事父爱瑜伽，有时候我们唱诵、服务或者是阅读，但是呢，我们体验到的不是那种特别甜美的感觉，而是有一点苦涩。
Because we are sick, like Bakasura, we still have some demoniac, we still have some evil or demoniac tendencies in the heart, so we are still sick.
因为呢，我们就像巴克苏若恶魔一样，我们呢仍然有着恶魔的这种一些邪恶的这些心态，所以呢，我们是处在患病的状态，所以呢，我们内心当中仍然不是那么的就是纯洁，是有恶魔的这些品质的。
But if we continue hearing and chanting, then as Rupa Goswami tells us, right, the disease will be destroyed at the root.
但是如果我们就是不断的去聆听唱诵的话呢，就像 Rupa Goswami 所描述的，最终呢，我们这个疾病呢会被连根拔除。
And the natural relish will increase more and more and more.
就是我们自然而然的这种品味呢，它就
会越来越感到这个甜美。然后越来越自然。
So this is one lesson from this particular incident.
所以呢，这就是有关这个故事的其中的一个教导。
So anyway, Bakasura, because Krishna was so hot and bitter, he spat him out.
所以呢，在这个恶魔巴克苏若。对他来说呢，他感到 Krishna 是非常的令他感到灼热的，所以呢，他就把 Krishna 给吐了出来。
And then with his beak, after that, with his beak, then Bakasura tried to, what's the word? Stab. Tried to stab Krishna with his beak.
所以呢，就是。这个恶魔呢，他想要用他的这个鸟嘴，然后呢，来把 Krishna 给夹死。
So at a certain point, Krishna held the demon by the beak, and then just like a child may tear or split a blade of grass.Krishna split the beak of Bakasura and thus killed him.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他就像孩子轻轻的撕开那个巢一样，所以呢，他就撕开了这个恶魔的嘴巴，把他给杀掉了。
And of course, all the cowherd boys were happy.
所有的这些牧牛童呢，他们都非常的高兴。
Wow, Krishna is so powerful. Look what he did. He just killed this demon. Wow, you know, boy thing, right?
所以呢，这个男孩们他呢表示出这些男孩子们的这种反应，要说，Krishna 杀掉了这个恶魔，他是多么的有力量啊！
So, Srila Prabhupada says something very nice in the purport.
现在圣文帕帕的在这个要旨当中，他就描述了，做了非常美妙的一个描述。
I'm just giving you the reference here.
Okay.
Text 53 of chapter 11.
在这个圣殿伯加瓦坛的53师姐，刚才我们读到的是50师姐，现在是53。 I read a verse?
No need.
Okay.
This is the purport. It was, I'll post it. It was just the one, sentence or two sentences. I'll post it, not the whole purport.
Okay.
You can find the part.
Okay. 就是在圣殿伯加瓦。
It was the practice.
Yeah. 圣殿伯加瓦坛的第十篇第11章53师节当中。就说将 Krishna 在森林里杀恶魔的各种逍遥时光编成诗歌呢，就是文达温的居民经常做的事情。然后呢，他们呢就是要么 自己将所有的故事变成了诗歌，要么就是请专业的诗人来编，然后呢去歌唱这些事情。
So whatever Krishna was doing during the day, the different residents, they would make songs or poetry of Krishna's activities, and they would sing them all throughout the day.
所以呢，就是不管 Krishna 他在白天做了什么事情，然后呢，这些南方的居民呢，他们总会把它编成这个歌或者是这个诗歌，然后呢，他们整天都会在那吟诵。
So, by this time, so the cowherd boys, they were singing about Krishna's activities. And in this particular day, then they sung about his killing of Bakasura.
所以呢，就是这些男孩们，他们经常歌颂 Krishna 的不同的逍遥时光。在这个特定的逍遥时光当中呢，他们就歌颂 Krishna 杀掉这个 Bakasura 恶魔的这么一个逍遥故事。
And in this way, they return to Vrindavan, to their village, to where they were living.Singing these songs about what happened today.
所以呢，他们呢就是唱诵着今天所发生的这些事情，他们歌颂着，他们一路就走回到了文达文。
Because they would do this every day. Every day, they would compile songs or poetry about Krishna's activities in the forest, and Mother Yasoda would compile, and the gopis would compile similar songs of Krishna at home, and in this way, they would just sing these songs throughout the day.
所以呢，其实每一天，他们呢都会来唱 Krishna 的这些逍遥时活动的这些诗歌，或者是呢，他们有时候是在这个。森林当中，包括亚修的妈妈呢，这些牧牛姑娘们，她们呢也会就是把它编成歌，然后呢来歌颂 Krishna 这些逍遥时光。她们一整天可能都在那吟唱。
So they were always hearing and chanting about Krishna.
所以呢，他们总是在那聆听和唱诵着 Krishna.
This happened throughout the Vrindavan, the pastimes in Vrindavan.
所以呢，这就是在文达文的逍遥时光当中呢，这个是贯穿始终的。
And as we all have heard many times, the hearing and chanting about Krishna is our primary devotional activity.
所以呢，就我们来说呢，对于这个聆听和唱诵 Krishna 呢，是我们最重要的活动。
So after hearing about the killing from the boys, because the boys were singing, you know, these songs about Krishna's activities and how he killed Bakasura, so the cowherd men were hearing. Upon returning to the village, Nanda Maharaj and the others, they heard all of this.
所以呢，就通过聆听这些男孩们，他们来唱诵歌颂的 Krishna 的这个杀掉巴克苏若恶魔的这些逍遥活动呢，这个 Nanda Maharaj 在内的这些牧牛郎们，他们就知道了发生了什么事情。
So after hearing about this demon being killed, this is what they were thinking.
所以呢，在聆听到这个恶魔被杀掉之后呢，这就是他们所思所想。
Remember, they don't think of Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead.
大家要记住，他们并不认为 Krishna 就是自尊人格神首。
So when they hear that, you know, Krishna did this or Krishna killed the demon, they have to think in another way.
所以呢，当他们听到 Krishna 做了这件奇妙的事情，杀掉了恶魔呢，他们就以另外一种方式来思考。
So this was their first thinking.
所以呢，刚才所谈到的就是他们的第一个想法。
Krishna, because Krishna is so innocent,
因为 Krishna 他是这么的天真无邪,
although these demons come to kill him, they themselves are killed because Krishna is so innocent.
就因为 Krishna 他是这么的天真无邪，所以尽管这些恶魔想要杀掉 Krishna， 但是呢，最终他们却被杀死了。
So this is the special grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who they don't think is Krishna.
所以呢，这就是这个是至尊人格守神的这么一个奇妙之处。但是呢，他们并不认为他就是至尊人格神守。
So this was their first thought.
所以呢，这就是文达文居民他们的第一个想法。
What is the second thought?
第二个想法是什么呢？
That maybe, this is Nanda Maharaj, maybe in his previous life, Krishna killed these demons and now they are coming back to, they are envious and they are coming back to try to kill him in return.
就是以 Nanda Maharaj 为首的这些人呢，他们就想，可能是因为在前世的时候呢 ，Krishna 杀死了这些恶魔，所以呢，这一世他们出于这个嫉妒，所以呢，他们却过来要杀掉 Krishna。
But because Krishna is so innocent, instead of they killing him, they are automatically killed.
但是呢，由于 Krishna 是这么的天真无邪，所以呢，当他们想要来杀掉 Krishna 的时候呢，自动的他们都被杀掉了。
Then they also thought，
他们也会想
，Well， Gargamuni， he must be right。
Gargamuni 呢，他肯定是对的。
So this incident is described in chapter 8.
这个小老师观呢是有关 Gargamuni 的预言呢，就是在这个第八章当中有所描述。
Gargamuni, he is the priest for the Yadu dynasty.
Gargamuni 呢，他是亚杜王朝的牧师。
His name comes up again and again, quite often in Krishna's Leela.
在 Krishna 的逍遥时光当中呢 ，Gargamuni 的名字呢就重复的一次又一次的重现。
So this is described in chapter 8 of the 10th canto.
所以就是在第十篇的第八章中有所描述。
Vasudev had arranged for Gargamuni to go to Vrindavan to do the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram because he couldn't do it in Mathura because of Kamsa. So instead, Vasudev sent Gargamuni, their priest, to Vrindavan to do it there.
所以呢，就是Vasudeva 呢，他呢，Nanda， Vasudeva 他呢，就是安排了这个 Gargamuni 呢，为 Krishna 以及 Balarama 举行这个命名的这个仪式，作为他们这个家族的这个牧师，因为呢，这个他不能在这个马图若来给他举行这个命名仪式，他只能在这个稳达稳，因为在马图若呢，这个恶魔。他有可能会杀掉 Krishna.
So Vasudev sent him to Vrindavan.
所以呢 ，Vasudeva 呢就把 Gargamuni 呢就派到了 Vrindavan.
Nanda Maharaj didn't know Vasudev sent him, but Gargamuni came to Vrindavan.
Nanda Maharaj 呢并不知道，就是说 Vasudev 派了这个 Gargamuni 过来，所以呢，最终这个 Gargamuni 呢就来到了这个 Vrindavan。
So when Nanda Maharaj saw Gargamuni, whom he knew was a very powerful brahmana and the priest for the Yadu dynasty, he said, can you please do the name-giving ceremony for Krishna and Balaram?
所以呢，因为 Nanda Maharani 他知道 Gautam Oni 呢，他是亚都王朝非常著名的这个牧师，还有这个预言家，所以呢，他就请求 Gautam Oni 能不能为 Krishna Balarama 举行命名仪式。
But he said, Gautam Oni said, better not.
Gautam Oni 就说最好不要。
Because everyone knows I am the priest for the Yadu dynasty.
因为每个人都知道我是亚都王朝的牧师。
So if I do the name giving for Krishna and Balaram, Kamsa might suspect that this is the eighth child. This must be the son of Vasudev.
因为如果我为 Krishna Balarama 举行命名仪式呢，那么康萨呢，他就可以推测到，就是这就是 Vasudeva 的这个第八个孩子。
So better we do it secretly.
所以呢，我们最好是秘密的进行。
So when this ceremony happens, you give the name ceremony, then you predict the future of the child. Sometimes you predict the past of the child.This is all part of the ceremony.
所以一般在孩子的命名仪式上呢，他们会预言这个孩子的未来以及推测他的过去，这些都是属于命名仪式的一部分。
So during this time, Gargamuni said, this Krishna will be like Narayana. He will have the qualities of Lord Narayana.
所以呢，在这个秘密仪式上呢， Gautam Oni 就预言说 ，Krishna 就像Narayana 一样，然后呢，他会具有 Narayana 的品质。
He didn't say Krishna is Narayana. He didn't say that.
他并没有说 Krishna 就是 Narayana.
Because again, Kamsa might become suspicious because he'll find out from spies and this and that.
因为呢，这个康萨呢，他就是可以通过他的这个间谍，然后呢，他推测他去找到这个 Krishna。
So he didn't say he is Narayana. He said he is like Narayana, or he will have the qualities like Lord Narayana.
所以呢，并没有说他是哪样的，而是说他像哪样的，他具备这个哪样的品质。
And of course, Gargamuni didn't want to disturb Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda's parental devotion.
当然了，就是Gargamuni 呢，他并不想去打扰，就是Nanda Maharaj 以及亚瑟娜妈妈这种母亲般的这种关爱之心。
So whenever Krishna killed a demon or did something amazing, they always remembered these words of Gargamuni, that he will be like Lord Narayana.
所以呢，每当 Krishna 杀掉恶魔或者是干了某些奇妙的事情的时候呢，他们都会记起 Gargamuni 的这个预言，就是说 Krishna 他像这个 Narayana。
Their devotion, their parental devotion, or their friendship devotion,couldn't allow them to think that Krishna is Lord Narayana.
所以呢，他们就这个父母般的包括朋友般的这种父爱的情感呢，他们不可能会想到 Krishna 他就是这个至尊人格神手。
But they could basically accept because Gargamuni said your son is like Lord Narayana. He has qualities like or equal to Lord Narayana.So they always felt, well, maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's why Krishna can kill this and demon and kill that demon, because he has qualities equal to Lord Narayana.
就是因为 Gautam Oni 曾预言说 Krishna 他就像Narayana, 或者他具备与 Narayana 同等的这个品格。所以呢，当他们看到 Krishna 杀掉这些恶魔的时候呢，他们就是这样想。
So in this way, they were thinking after hearing of Krishna's killing of Bakasura, these were the thoughts that were going on in their mind.
所以呢，当 Krishna 杀 杀掉这个鸟魔的时候呢，当他们知道这件事情之后呢，这就是他们的想法。
So, Bakasura, what Anartha does he represent?
所以呢，巴卡苏拉恶魔代表着我们什么样的 Anartha 呢？
Right, because remember, each demon represents a particular Anartha, a particular evil quality.
因为呢，不同的恶魔它代表着不同的 Anartha， 代表着我们这个邪恶的品质。
So what does Bakasura represent?
所以呢 ，Bakasura 它代表了什么？恶魔的品质呢
？So we heard already that Bakasura appeared as a duck or a crane.
所以呢，我们已经听到 Bakasura 恶魔呢，它显现为是这个鸭子或者说是鹤的形象。
Right. So these two birds, as we all know, these two birds, they are very harmless. They're very innocent, harmless birds.
这类鸟呢，我们知道它们其实是无公害的，它们不会说伤害到人。
They just, you know, sit in the water and mind their own business, and they're just very peaceful, harmless, innocent birds.
所以呢，它们其实就是一个非常天真的一种鸟类，它们呢就待在这个水里，然后呢做着它们自己的事情。
So, Bakasura was showing himself like that.
所以呢，巴卡苏拉呢就把他自己装成是如这类鸟般那么的一样。
I'm just an innocent duck. Harmless, innocent duck. That's all I am.
非常的天真无邪的这种无公害的这么一类鸭或者是鹤。
But inside, he was thinking, I will kill this Krishna.
但是呢，内在的他却在想，我要杀掉 Krishna.
Outside, he was behaving inside in one way, but inside he had a completely different. He had the opposite. He had the opposite intention.
所以呢，外在看起来就是。像这类鸟一样的天真无邪，但是呢，内在想法却完全的相反，他要杀掉 Krishna。
So what is that called? You're outside one thing, but inside you're something else.
这被称为什么呢？就是你的外在和内在就是表里不一。
What do we call that?
我们称这种为什么呢？
Jamuna Priya, what is that called?
虚伪。
What's that mean?
Hypocrisy.
Yes, exactly. Hypocrisy. Yes. Duplicity, right? Duplicity.
虚伪。
Basically cheating. Basically cheating.
表里不一，欺骗。
So this is the Anartha of Bakasura.
所以呢，这就是 Bakasura 所代表的 Anartha。
He showed himself one way, but inside he had the opposite intention.
所以呢，他外在表现的是一样，然后呢，内在却与外在完全相反的一种情况。
Hypocrisy or deceptive behavior.
所以呢，他的这种是虚伪、欺骗的、奸诈的这种行为。
You may remember that Putana, slightly similar. She also represented a slightly similar Anartha, a cheating guru.
Putana 呢，它代表的这个欺骗的这个假咕噜，它呢多多少少也是类似于这个巴卡苏拉的这个恶魔的所代表的 Anartha.
Right, she came dressed as a beautiful lady, but actually she had the intention of killing Krishna.
就是呢，她外在表现的呢，就是一位美丽的女士，但是呢，内在却想要去杀掉 Krishna。
So a little bit similar, but described differently.
她呢，他们两个呢，有一些相似之处，但是呢，还是有差异的。
So this is an obstacle.
所以这就是一种障碍。
for the pure development of pure bhakti.
就是我们培养纯粹的奉爱路上的一种障碍。
Externally, you know, we dress as Vaishnavas and we be, maybe try to behave as Vaishnavas, but internally we have different intentions.
我们外在可能行为举止表现得像 Vaishnava 一般，但是呢，我们内在却有着不同的动机。
Maybe we want to become famous. Maybe we want a big position. Maybe we want to... We have our own material interests. And we're just showing externally, showing some sort of devotion.
我们呢，可能内在呢，却想要变得出名，想要获得很高的地位。那我们有自己的这些物质的动物，外在却表现得非常具有风爱。
Of course, our hypocrisy may not be as evil as Bakasura.
但是呢，我们可能并没有像 Bakasura 那样虚伪或者是邪恶。
Right, in his case, it was really black and white. It was really clear.
就是呢，在巴卡舒若的身上呢，就是他的这种邪恶呢是非常的显而易见，非常分明的黑白，就能够那么清的分出来。
So, in our case, it may not necessarily be that extreme.
在我们的身上呢，可能并不是像他那样，就是极端的这种显现出来。
But we need to be honest. That's the lesson. We need to be honest.
但是呢，我们得到的这个教训呢，就是说我们需要变得这个真诚。
Sometimes it is said we can cheat others.
有时候我们也说我们可以欺骗了他人。
Sometimes we can even cheat ourselves. Sometimes we don't even know. We even cheat ourselves.
有时候我们甚至能骗过自己。
But we cannot cheat Krishna.
但是呢，我们却欺骗不了 Krishna.
Sometimes we may not even know ourselves, our hypocrisy. We may not necessarily be aware of it.
有时候呢，我们甚至都不知道自己是很虚伪的，我们自己都没有意识到这一点。
That is why this whole...You know, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is comparing the different demons to different anarthas. One reason he does this is so we reflect more deeply on our spiritual development.
所以呢，这就是为什么这个 Bhakti 的小耳光边。这出来代表着我们的某一个 anatta， 因为这样呢，我们就可以更加的去反省，去内省我们自身的灵性的修习。
And he wants us to reflect more deeply, not just superficially or mechanically going along with our devotional practices, but actually to be very thoughtful and reflective and introspective.
所以呢，他呢就是想要我们就是更加深刻的去反省、去内省，而不是只是那么无目标、机械性的进行这种奉爱的修习。他想让我们变得更加的深思熟虑，更加的内省。
So we all have to become more and more deep in our practice of Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，我们应该在我们这个 Krishna 知觉的灵性的修习当中呢，变得更加的这个内省，更加的深刻。
As we have many times said, the practice of Krishna development and practice of Krishna consciousness is actually more internal than external.
就像我们经常所提到了，我们这个培养 Krishna 知觉呢，更多的是内在的，而不是外在的。
External things not so hard to do.
其实外在的这些事情呢，并不是那么难做的。
doing the kirtan or attending the association or doing the service, not very hard to do. But what are we thinking? What is our intention? What's going on inside?
我们比如说外在的可能举行很好的 kirtan 呀，我们与奉献的联谊，我们做很多的服务，但是呢。 我们呢，就是头脑中在想一些什么呢？ 我们的动机目的是什么呢？ 我们的内在是怎样的呢？
How favorable is our consciousness?
就是我们的知觉到底是否有益于呢？
Right, so in this way, there might be different degrees of hypocrisy.
所以呢，就是有关这个虚伪呢，它是有不同的这个层次的。
Bhakasura is an extreme example.
Bhakasura的例子呢，它是一个非常极端的一个特例。
But the principle applies to all of us.
但是呢，这个原则是应用在我们每一个人身上的。
And if we are not careful, then like Bhakasura, he will try to kill our Krishna Bhakti. This Anartha will try to kill our Krishna Bhakti.
所以呢，如果我们不是那么小心谨慎的话呢，就是这个Anartha它就会毁掉我们这个 Krishna 的这种风爱的蔓藤。
So this is the Anartha that Bhakasura represents.
所以呢，这就是Bhakasura恶魔所代表的Anartha。
So we have to learn to be honest with ourselves and with others.
所以呢，我们需要呢，对自己变得诚实，而且对他人也变得诚实。We may have
weaknesses. We may this. We may that. And we should just be honest. We don't need to, you know, show we're a great devotee when we are not.
所以呢，我们肯定要有。 很多的这些弱点不足，我们内心的这些虚弱的地方，我们在不同方面上都会有。我们只需要变得诚实，我们没有必要向别人展示或者炫耀我们是多么伟大的奉献者。So
this is the lesson.
所以呢，这就是我们可以学到的教导。
So who was Bhakasura in his last life?
那Bhakasura他的前世是谁呢?
This is, I'll post it. This is described in the one of the Puranas.
在一部Purana当中呢，就是描述。
He was a Gandharva.
他是一位Gandharva。
Gandharva is one category of demigod.
Gandharva 呢，是属于半神人的一种。
And he had two brothers, three of them together.
他呢，就是有两个兄弟，所以呢，他们是兄弟三人。
So they were performing some tapasya in a holy place.
他们呢，在一处圣地进行苦修。
And during that time, they went to a lake and they picked some lotus flowers which they wanted to offer to Krishna.
所以呢，在那个时候呢，他们去到了天堂般的一个湖里，他们呢，去采莲花呢，想要供奉给主Krishna。
但是。 At that time, they were arrested. They were captured by some followers of Lord Shiva and brought to Lord Shiva.
但是呢，就在他们采莲花的时候呢，被主希瓦的仆人给抓住了，带到了主希瓦面前。So
Lord Shiva received them nicely.
所以呢，主希瓦很好的接待了他们。But
he said,
但是呢，告诉他们说。
Parvati Devi, who is his eternal consort.
就是他的永恒的伴侣, Parvati Devi呢?
She made a vow for 100 days, she would offer 100 lotus flowers to the Lord. This is the vow she took.
就是呢，他呢发誓是连续100天要向主 Krishna 每天供奉1000朵莲花。
And I told her, if anyone takes your lotus flowers, I will curse them.
我就告诉他说呢，如果任何人从你这个湖中采莲的话呢，我将会诅咒这个人。
So you three, you took her lotus flowers that she had already made a vow to offer. Unknowingly, you took her flowers from this same lake.
所以呢，你们三个呢，就是在不知情的情况下呢，你们从这个湖中采莲，但是呢，他呢已经就是发下了这样的誓言。
So I have to curse you because this is what I promised her.
所以呢，我就必须要诅咒你们，因为这是我承诺帕瓦蒂的，承诺他的。
But I'll bless you also.
但是呢，我也会给你们祝福的。
And the blessing is that I have to curse you to be demons, but Krishna will deliver you, and thus you will be liberated.
我诅咒你们变成恶魔，但是呢，给你们的祝福呢，是你们会被 Krishna 杀掉，得到解脱。
So one of the brothers became this Bakasura.
所以呢，其中一个兄弟呢，成为了 Bakasura 恶魔。
And then the other two became Pralambasura and Keshi. We'll hear about them later. They come later in the same pastime.
其他的两位兄弟呢，分别成为了 Pralambasura 以及 Keshi 恶魔。
We'll hear about them later. They come later in the Vrindavan Leela.
他们在 Vrindavan 的逍遥时光当中呢，是后面才发生的，所以呢，我们将在以后来讲述。
So that's who he was in his last life.
所以呢，这就是他的前世的这个身份是谁。
Let's finish here.
让我们今天就讲到这儿。
And we have some questions, I see.
我们已经看到有一些问题。Papa Singh, we still have two questions from
last lecture.
我们上一次讲课当中呢，还有两个问题没有回答完，现在先提出来。Rasha 的顶拜帕布，请问当出席奉献者或一般常人给予祝福或诅咒的时候，这些祝福或诅咒都会实现吗？不是为了对方的灵性益处考虑的话，诅咒是不是也是一种严重的冒犯呢？
Can you, sorry, the English for that?
Okay, like a neophyte devotee or a general people, when they give blessings or curse, these blessings or curse will become reality?And also, if this is not for the other spiritual benefit, so such curse is also a serious offense.
Will it become reality? I think it depends on different factors.
这些会不会实现，那么是取决于不同的因素的。
Certainly, as devotees, we don't curse anybody.
当然了，作为奉献者来说，我们不会去诅咒任何人。
Even if there's a reason to do so, we don't. That in itself would be considered sort of offensive. That in itself would harm our spiritual development.
所以呢，就是即便我们有足够的理由去诅咒某人的时候呢，但是呢。我们却不这样去做，因为这种想法本身就会严重的阻碍我们的灵性的修习。
So we are not in any kind of position to curse anyone.
我们呢，并不处在可以去诅咒任何人的这么一个位置。
Right, we can't, you know, imitate these great rishis and sages.
但是呢，我们可能去模仿这些伟大的。
不能，不能，不能，不能。
我们不能。
these are great rishis and sages with thousands and thousands of years as tapasya, and you know, we can't imitate them.
这些伟大的这些圣人呢，他们都从事了成千上百年的这些苦修，所以呢，我们不能可能去模仿他们去诅咒于其他人。
If we do that, then that will damage our own spiritual development.
如果我们这样做的话呢，那么这会阻碍我们自身的灵性的进步的。
It's just wrong. We just shouldn't do it. If there's a reason, then the karma and other things will take its own course.
如果我们虽然有足够的这个理由去诅咒他人，但是呢，我们不应该这样做。我们应该让，就是说，这个人他自身的这个业报可以就是自动的，就是展现在他的身上。
And we're not spiritually very powerful, so whatever curse we give probably won't have any result whatsoever.
而且呢，我们自身也没有足够的这个灵性的力量。如果我们去诅咒的话，可能这个诅咒本身并没有任何的这个力量，不会说成为现实。
So, and certainly for general people, yeah, they don't have spiritual potency. So cursing or blessing.It doesn't mean much. Practically, it doesn't become real.
所以呢，对于一般常人来说呢，由于他们没有这些灵性的力量，所以无论他们是祝福还是诅咒，通常的话呢，并不会说就成为现实，不会说产生很大的这个影响。
Certainly, we would like to have goodwill from others.
当然了，我们会去良好的对别人有着良好的祝愿。
That is generally helpful.
这一点呢会有益的。
But if someone curses us, it probably won't do much because they don't have any spiritual potency. How is it going to work?
如果有人诅咒了我们的话呢，因为他们自身可能并没有。那么强的灵性的力量，所以呢，可能这个诅咒就不会实现，不奏效。
But we don't want bad will from others, because bad will from others, it's negative energy. So in a general way, that negative energy might harm us in some general way.
当然了，我们不会去想要去诅咒他人。因为这种负面的能量呢，它会反过来会影响到我们，伤害到我们自身的灵性的休息。
In a general way.
通常来说。
Positive energy is helpful, negative energy is not helpful.
就是积极的这个能量呢，它是有益的，消极的能量呢，它是不利的。
So a blessing is positive energy, you know, a curse is negative energy. So positive energy is certainly more helpful, generally speaking.
通常来说呢，这个祝福它是一种积极的能量，而这个诅咒呢，它是消极的能量。
So generally it's helpful or harmful.
所以呢，通常来说，这个祝福它是有益的，而这个诅咒呢，它是有害的。
But...If they cursed a specific, like if someone curses you and say, oh, you're going to die tomorrow, you know, that probably won't happen because the person just doesn't have that strength. So the specific blessing or curse probably won't happen, but there might be some general harm or help.
所以呢，就比如说，如果有人诅咒你明天就死去的话呢，就通常不会发生。因为这个人他可能就没有那么多的灵性的力量可以让这个诅咒成为现实。就是在特定的情况下呢，这些诅咒或祝福通常的话都不会成为这个现实。但是通常来说呢，这个祝福它是一种非常积极有益的一种能量。然后呢，这个诅咒呢，它却是消极的有害的。
But certainly, as devotees, we don't curse. It's not our business. We don't, and we shouldn't. If we do, it will harm our spiritual practice.
但是呢，作为奉献的来说，我们其实不应该去诅咒 他人的。如果我们诅咒他人的话呢，这就会伤害到我们阻碍的我们的灵性的休息。
So we will be more harmed actually than the other person.
我们自身会受到更多的伤害，而不是他人。
As devotees.
作为奉献的来说。
So that would be my answer for that. Yes, next.
所以呢，这是我的一个回答。OK， 下一个问题是 Rajinya Prabhu， Vadasura 恶魔代表幼稚、恶作剧等等，在灵性中，这种幼稚甚至恶作剧的残忍，代表受人误导，转向其他哲学、物质富裕和地位。除此之外，还有什么表现形式吗？如何克服这种不洁？
Please, I didn't understand that one.
Vadasura demon represent childish,
yes.
Mischievous.
Yes, yes, yes.
So in our spiritual practice, this childish mischievous behavior, this is very cruel. So it also represent misguided by others.
Yes.
And also we changed to our philosophy, and also we attached to material opulence and position. So, instead of this, what are manifestations?
Yeah,
and how to overcome this impurity?
How to overcome...One way is by reading about Vatsasura and reflecting upon this pastime.
其中的一个方法呢，就是通过去阅读 Vatsasura 这个恶魔的逍遥时光，然后呢，我们去深刻的反省。
And like we have mentioned just again today, right? To be reflective and introspective. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is encouraging us to do. To be reflective.And introspective about what is going on in our hearts.
所以呢，就如圣巴克迪维诺塔库尔他所教导给我们的，我们应当呢去反省，去深刻的内省，然后呢，我们内心中的这些不洁。
Generally, trying to be more aware.
就是我们更为清醒的去知觉的。
And as you mentioned, right, childish mentality means one is easily misled. So therefore, to protect us from that, we have to surround ourselves with adults.
所以呢，就是你提到了这个孩子气呢，它就是很容易这个误导。所以呢，我们应当就是把我们的这种倾向呢去sorry, can you repeat the last part?
If someone is a childish, they need to have an adult to tell them what to do.
就是如果就是有人他具有孩子气的话呢，他们就需要就是一个成年人告诉他们应该怎么做。
Right, and they'll be protected.
他们呢这样就会受到保护。
So in our case, therefore we have...Right, senior association, senior devotee, senior guidance. This is like the adult who protects us. So we have to be sure that we're in that kind of environment.
所以呢，就是在我们的这个例子当中呢，我们需要年长的奉献者的联谊，需要年长的奉献者的指导。这样的话呢，就可以来保护我们去免于这种情况。
If a child is alone, they can be taken advantage of more easily.
如果这个孩子他是独自一人的话呢，有人可能会更加有机可乘。
Because they're childish.
因为呢，他们真的是非常孩子气的。
But if they are surrounded by adults, or even friends, if they are surrounded by equal age friends, then they can be more protected.
但是呢，如果他们身边呢有这些成年人以及哪怕是统领这些玩伴的陪伴呢，他们也会更加的受到保护的。
So as devotees, if we're alone, then we can maya, we can be more easily misled.
嗯，所以呢，对于奉献者来说，如果我们独自一人的话呢，我们其实更容易受到这个 maya 的这种误导。
So therefore, we need to surround ourselves with friends, with equals, and with seniors, and this will help to protect us, so we won't be taken advantage of by the different tricks of Maya.
嗯，所以呢，作为奉献者来说呢，我们应该就是把自己置身于我们的同辈奉献者或者是年长的奉献者身处他们当中，这样的话呢，我们就保护了自己，否则的话呢，我们就很容易受到玛雅所设下的这些陷阱的这种误导。
Right, so that's why Vaishnava Sangha is so important, because it protects us from these sorts of things.
这就是为什么 Vaishnava 的联谊是如此的重要，因为它可以保护我们去免于这样的受误导的状况。
And then we try to be reflective. We try to be more reflective.
然后呢，我们呢，也会变得更加的这个反省。
Okay, next.
Okay. So he also asked, what are other manifestations of this Vatasura demon?
I think I've answered enough.
Okay.
That's as much as I can think of for now.
OK, 好，那我们就看下一题。今天的有三个问题。Ajinya Prabhu 的，感谢 Prabhu 的讲课，感谢翻译和主持。Krishna 在稳达万沙市的恶魔有没有数量的统计呢？还是杀了无数恶魔？据说 Krishna 放牧一天杀两个恶魔，有这种说法吗？谢谢。
Yes, I read that. I had heard that before also.
是，我之前也听说过这种说法。
Then every day Krishna killed one or two demons.
每一天呢 ，Krishna 都要杀到一两个恶魔。
And I, for the last few days, I have been reading and I have been trying to find that statement.
所以呢，我前段呢就已经就是读了这些，然后呢，我要找出来相关的这些说法。
But actually, I hadn't been able to.
但是呢，我目前还没有找到。
So.I cannot say for sure if it's, I mean, I had heard that also, but as of now, I haven't really been able to find it.
我确实也听过类似的说法，但是到目前为止，我还没有找到相关的这些就是说证据。
In one place, which I read just yesterday, I can find the verse. In one place, in this chapter,Prabhupada says two or three incidences took place daily.
就是在昨天呢，就在这个逍遥时光当中呢，圣帕巴德他就在这一章中描述说，有时候呢，这个两三个事情同时发生在同一天。
But it doesn't specifically say about killing demons.
但是呢，他没有。特指就是杀恶魔这么一个事件。
He simply wrote in the purport that two or three incidences took place every day.
他呢就是在这个要旨中就提到了大概两三个事件会在同一天中发生。
But it doesn't specifically say killing demons.
但是呢，他没有特指是杀恶魔这个事件。
So for that.Reason I cannot confirm that, at least not yet, because I haven't found anything specific in that regard.
所以呢，就有关这一点呢，我还不能完全跟您确认，因为我还没有找到相关的这个证据。
I only found the purport where Srila Prabhupada says every day two or three incidences happened, but it didn't specifically say killing demons. It could have referred to other things.
我呢只是找到就是在要旨中上文帕巴的提到，就是可能在一天当中呢，大概有两三个事件都会同时的上演。那么，在这里它并没有特指就是杀恶魔这样的事件。
So until I find something more clear, I can't confirm that if Krishna killed, you know, everyday demons. I cannot say.
所以除非我找到更加清晰确认的这些证据的话呢，否则的话呢，现在还不能完全的确认，就是每一天 Krishna 都要杀掉一到两个恶魔。
But certainly the ones that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned, obviously they are the more prominent demons.
当然了，就是像 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他所提到的这些呢，都是很明显的重要的这些恶魔。
Obviously, they were the more prominent demons. The other ones, obviously, were not so prominent. Even if there were other ones, they were not so important.
像 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他所提到的这些恶魔呢，都是非常显而易见的、很重要的一些恶魔。
Okay.
其他那些没有提到的话呢，可能不是那么重要的恶魔。
Yeah, I just found it's in Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text 45.So he can read that. Rajendra Prabhu can read that.
Rajendra Prabhu, you can 参考这个诗节 Which verse?
I just typed it there. 45.
就是在圣涅巴加瓦坛的第十篇十一章四十五诗节当中。Rajendra Prabhu, 你可以来读一下，试下来看一下这个诗节。
So in the purport, it could be interpreted to refer to everyday killing demons, but not necessarily.
在这个要旨当中呢，他提到了可能是就是每一天他都要杀恶魔，但是呢，并没有一定必然是这样的。
I might come across something later, but this is for now.
我呢，可能事后呢会再跟大家再补充。一些，但是呢，这是我目前能够找到的。
好的，下一个。
下一个，亚莫那提罗，马塔吉，顶拜帕布，灵性世界是否也有像今天说到的私人，也有画家、歌唱家和工程师等不同的特长和职业的奉献者，以不同的特长来服务 Krishna 呢？灵性世界也有家庭存在吗？是否也要工作呢？新人常会问到很多类似的问题。感恩卡布。
Yes, in the spiritual world, there is everything we see here in its original pure spiritual form.
是的，我们在这里所看到的一切在灵性世界。都有它原初的最纯粹的灵性的一个状态。
So there are families, there is work, everything. Everything we see here is all there in its original pure spiritual form.
所以呢无论我们在这里看到了一切像家庭啊工作啊在灵性世界它都以最原初的最纯粹的这个形象存在的。
Husbands, wives, with children, all there.
丈夫、妻子、孩子，在灵性世界都有。
It's all eternal, though, right? It's.
而且是永恒的。
So taking birth is not like you don't take birth as such; you just appear, right? If, for example, if one of us go back to Godhead, you know, it will just will appear in some family like we never left.
就在灵性世界呢，他的这个出生呢，并不像物质世界这种出生，他只是显现。如果我们当中呢有人回归守神的话呢，我们可能就是显现在某一个灵性的家庭当中，你就好像我们从来没有那个离开过一样。
And remember, we shared the example of the peacock dancing and the chicken dancing.
记住我们之前提到过这个孔雀起舞的这个例子，还有这个小鸡乱舞的这么一个情况。
Right, both dance, but nobody watches the chicken dance.
两个都在跳舞，但是呢，却没有人会去欣赏这个小鸡的这种乱舞。
So what we see here is the chicken dancing, family work, all these things.
所以呢，我们在这个物质世界所看到了这个家庭啊、工作呀，它就像这个小鸡在那乱舞一样。
But in the spiritual world, it's like the peacock dancing. Everything is beautiful.
但是呢，在灵性世界，一切就像是孔雀起舞一般那么的美妙。
But everyone loves Krishna more than each other.
每一个人呢，他们都比其他人更加的爱着 Krishna。
So they have their families and husbands, wives, and they love each other in a, you know, in a pure way. But everyone loves Krishna more.
就是在灵性世界的家庭当中呢，丈夫、妻子、这个孩子，他们呢也彼此相爱，但是呢，他们是更加爱着 Krishna。
And we will learn about this in the pastime of Lord Brahma stealing the calves and boys.
我们呢将会在主 Brahma 偷走这个牧牛童和小牛犊的这样的小小时光中来学到这一点。
This is a big lesson from that pastime.
就是呢，这是从那个小小时光当中所得出的很重要的这个教导。
And they work, yes, the cowherd men, they go out and herd the cows, the women are at home taking care of the house. It all happens, they grow their vegetables, you know, it's all going on.
所以呢，那些牧牛郎们呢，他们出去放牧，然后这些女士们呢，在家里做着家务活。通常的话呢，这些情况呢，就是类似的一个描述。包括这些女士们，她们在家里种他们的蔬菜，等等。
So, but it's all like a peacock dancing. It's all beautiful.
就是这些事情呢，他们在灵性世界都有上演，就像是孔雀起舞一般那么的美妙。
Right, and as we know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna teaches us in chapter 15, this world, material world, is a pervertedreflection of the spiritual world.
就像 Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》第十五当中告诉我们说，这个物质世界呢是灵性世界扭曲了的一个倒影。
Okay, next.
那下一个问题，手机歪歪新人 Hare Krishna， 顶拜 Guru， 请问我读《薄伽梵歌》有段时间了。也很相信书中所说的一切。偶尔也有体悟过，但最近总有一个声音，心里总有个声音，虔诚的保持在 Krishna 知觉中。死后真的会有灵性国度吗？真的会有吗？是不是画饼充饥呢？请原谅我的不敬，但这个声音赶不走，请咕噜赐教，感恩。
Don't pay any attention. It's not related to the class.
你的这个问题给我们的这个讲课不太相关。
But I'll answer it quickly.
所以呢，我会很快的来回答你的这个问题。
Don't worry about it. Whatever it is, it's not important. Don't give it any attention, and gradually it'll go away.
所以呢，不管就是有什么声音，你不要去关注它，这不重要。就是最终呢，它会消失的。
Just continue your spiritual practice and don't worry about the sounds that you might hear inside.
所以呢，你就只是持续不断的进行灵性的修习，不要去关注内在的这些所谓的声音。
Probably imaginations.
或许这些声音就是一种想象。
In either case, it's not important, so don't bother about it.
所以呢，就是在任何情况下来讲的话呢，这种现象呢都不是那么的重要，所以呢，你不要太关注于它。
No need to care.
所以没有必要去担心，去操心这个事情。
And gradually it'll go away.
最终呢，它肯定会离开的。
If it's there at all.
如果它真的在的话。
But maybe it's just some imagination on your part.
或许呢，这是你的一种想象。
Okay, next.
下一个问题，加帕的吗？的 Vedasi Hare Krishna 顶拜月亮爬布感恩翻译主持人 Vrindavan 的居民因为不知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神因此很自然地发展出对他纯粹的奉爱当我们在接触 Krishna 知觉的时候就是在知道 Krishna 的真实身份即使没有真正觉悟和臣服但我们至少是知道的因此在奉爱的发展过程中始终会带着敬畏之情很难变得纯粹请问在日常休息中如何更好地帮助我们增加我们与 Krishna 的连接更好地发展出纯粹的奉爱呢感恩你的仁慈 Hare Krishna
Yes, the residents of Vrindavan as she mentioned they don't understandKrishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, their devotion, their interaction with Krishna is more intimate.
所以呢，就像你提到的，因为 Vrindavan 的居民呢，不知道 Krishna 是至尊人格守神，所以呢，他们就很自然的发展起来了对 Krishna 纯粹的、非常亲密的这种方案。
They are situated at the stage of perfection.
他们是处在完美的一个阶段。
We, on the other hand, we are not in the stage of perfection.
我们呢是另外一种情况，我们并没有处在完美的阶段。
So we have to cultivate the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以呢，我们必须发展起这样的理解力，就是 Krishna 他就是至尊人格神兽。
We have to cultivate that understanding.
所以呢，我们必须要培养这样的理解力。
First, we have to realize that.
首先，我们要觉悟到这一点。
That's when we achieve perfection, and then what happens after that? You know, that's another discussion.
就是呢，首先我们要觉悟到这一点，然后呢，等到我们变得完美之后呢，那是另外一个话题了。
You know, what happens after that, that is another topic of discussion. But until that time, we cultivate the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
等到我们达到完美之后呢，那就是另外一个谈论的话题了。但是呢，在我们达到完美之前呢，我们必须要培养起这样的理解力，就知道 Krishna 是至尊人格神兽。
That is why in all of these 10 cantos,Right, in the purports, again and again, Prabhupada uses this word, Supreme Personality of Godhead.
所以这就是为什么在整个第十篇当中呢，圣帕巴在他的要旨当中，他就一直强调说，这个 Krishna 他是至尊人格首省。
So even though he's describing these different lilas of Krishna in the purports, he's always reminding us.Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Again and again, and it probably he uses that term more than any other term.
就是尽管在这个世界当中描述 Krishna 的这个 Lila 逍遥时光，但是呢，在这个要旨当中，圣帕巴德的他就在这第十篇当中，就是更加强调用这个词，就是自尊人格神手，他比其他地方要用的要多一点。
So we certainly hear about and appreciate and admire the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. That, no doubt.
当然了，我们呢聆听，而且我们欣赏，就是 Vrindavan 的居民对Krishna 的这种就发的奉爱之心。
But at the same time, we must cultivate the understanding. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
但是呢，我们同时要培养起这样的理解力，就是，知道 Krishna 他就是至尊和神手。
And how do we do that better? As she asked, by reading Srila Prabhupada's purports, convincing the intelligence.
就是呢，我们如何能够做到这一点呢？我们就阅读圣人帕巴的这个要旨，然后呢去发展起这样的一种智慧。
Did I answer that question?
Yes. You answered part of his question.
Okay.
But she also asked, in our daily practice.
Yes.
So, 如何更好的帮助我们增加我们与 Krishna 连接，更好的发展出对纯粹的奉爱。So, how
yes.
can we?
Yeah. So that's my same answer.
How can this?
Yes.
How can this pastime?
By reading these pastimes.
就通过阅读这样的逍遥时光。
That's certainly one way, and by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that brings us closer to Krishna.
第一点呢，就是通过阅读这样的逍遥时光；第二点呢，就是通过唱诵 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra， 肯定能帮助我们更加的，就是接近 Krishna。
And by doing service.
通过从事服务。
Everything we do brings us closer to Krishna if we do it mindfully.
如果我们带有知觉的，能够觉知到自己所做的服务的话呢，我们所做的一切都可以带我们就是离 Krishna 更近。
Everything we do can bring us closer to Krishna, but we just have to do it more mindfully, not mechanically.
就是任何事情，如果我们带着知觉的更加就是小心谨慎的去做的话呢，那么肯定都会带我们离 Krishna 更近，而不是机械性的去从事。
And we have to be consistent over many, 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 many years.
所以呢，就是在很多很多年之后呢，我们都需要不断的去确认这一点。
好的。
好的，还有一个问题，田慧霞 ，Hare Krishna Guru， 我很新，我有一个问题是。休息 Krishna 之后，我的女儿也不能打是吗？尽管她犯错。
This is not exactly related to the class.
就是你的这个问题呢，跟我们的课程不相关。
Remember, we want questions related to the class.
你要记住，就是我一般不会回答跟这个讲课主题无关的问题。
These kinds of questions, like, you know, should you hit your daughter? You can ask, you know, among the other experienced devotees in your community.
有关你是不能打你的女儿这个问题，你可以在我们的这个社团当中去问那些比较有经验的这些奉献者。
They can give you good answers also. You don't need to ask, you know, in this forum.
他们呢也可以给到你非常美妙的回答，你没有必要就是在这里来提出来。
And yeah, you shouldn't hit your daughter.
是的，你不应该打你女儿。
Okay, next.
下个问题。庞继东。顶拜 Guru 翻译你好，我不知道今天的问题是否合适。我家孩子今天和我一起听课，问我爷爷盘古开天地是怎么回事，因为他一直觉得 Krishna 就像神话故事，恳请 Guru 开始。
I didn't understand. Yes, please.
Okay.
I was sitting. My son was sitting with me, hearing the class.
Yeah, and Hassan asked that, what about the Pangu created heaven and earth? Have you heard of such such story? It from an ancient Chinese story. So, and her children feel that some of Krishna's pastime just like a fairy story. So,
if that's okay, if he wants to feel that way, that's okay.
如果他是这样认为的话呢，也是可以的。
It's not a bad thing.
并不是一个坏事情。
By hearing more and more, then maybe his thinking will change.
通过越来越多的聆听，可能他的这个想法就会改变。
And because it's about Krishna, so anything hearing about Krishna for a child.Even if he feels that way, it's not a huge problem.
所以呢，就是他可以想更多的聆听 Krishna 的这个逍遥时光。作为一个孩子来说，即便他有这样的想法呢，也并不是什么大的问题。
By continuing, if he has the willingness to continue hearing, that in itself is a good thing.
如果呢他有这种意愿愿意继续聆听更多的逍遥时光的话呢这本身就是一件好事情。
And then she means the mother, she can read the Krishna book and then share, because in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains very nicely how Krishna is the Supreme Lord and it's not, you know, mythology. So if she educates herself more,then she can also explain better.
所以呢就是作为母亲呢你可以自己先读 Krishna book 一书然后呢跟你的孩子分享就是在这本书当中呢圣帕巴德的非常美妙的阐释了有关至尊人格守神就是他讲述的非常的这个美妙那么你如果了解的更多的话呢你就可以很好的跟你的孩子分享
But definitely don't blame him for his thinking it's a fairy tale just deal with him in a nice compassionate way
所以呢你不要因为他认为这是神话故事就去指责批评他那么你就只需要就是非常友善的带着怜悯之心的去对待他。
So don't be judgmental or blame him or say you're offensive or don't do any of that.
不要对他做出评判然后呢去谴责他或者说给他说你这样说是冒犯的。就不要这样做。
Just gradually help him understand, gradually. And if he has the willingness to hear, then that in itself is already very good.
所以呢你就循序渐进的就是帮助他能够理解。如果他自身很愿意聆听这个逍遥时光的话呢这本身就是一件非常好的事情。
Time, right? Everything needs time.
一切都需要时间的。
So be patient for your child.
所以呢对待你的孩子也应该耐心一些。
好下一个。
下一个最后一个问题吧。Radha Priya Mataji, 非常感谢帕布的讲课感谢翻译主持。你今天讲到这个恶魔代表我们内心的虚伪我们甚至不知道自己的虚伪欺骗自己。我们自身的问题不愿意承认和接受我们从其他人或世上找理由来欺骗自己但是却无法快乐地服务联谊请问帕布我们如何变得对自己真诚是否需要我们有这个愿望因为即使奉献者提示给我们我们并不是从内心接受
Yes, so this comes back to our discussion about being reflective.
是的，这就回到了所谈论到的，我们需要不断的去反省。
Sometimes we may not recognize or acknowledge.
有时候我们可能并没有认识到自己的这个问题。
And it might be that sometimes we think too much.
有时候可能我们想的太多。
But we want to be reflective, we want to be introspective.
但是呢我们想要不断的去反思去反省。
But not in an extreme way.
但是呢并不是极端的这样做。
Not in an extreme way. Because that also is not always so healthy.
所以我们没有必要非常极端的进行反思反省，因为这本身也并不有益。
Remember, everything takes time, right? We shared with the mother. Everything just takes time, also.
要记住，就像我们刚才跟那位母亲所分享的，就是一切都需要时间，我们需要变得耐心。
For others and for ourselves.
就对他人对自己要耐心。
So in, you know, looking at our anarthas or the obstacles like we discussed today, yes, we want to be reflective, we want to be mindful, but at the same time, we don't want to be completely absorbed in our anarthas, thinking about this problem, that problem, I have this bad quality. We don't want to do that too much either.
所以呢就像今天所谈论到的这个逍遥时光，我们学到的呢就是我们要学会去更多的反思，去内省，去变得更加具有觉察。但是呢同时我们也不要过度的就是陷在自己的问题当中呢，就想着哎呦你看我有这个问题，我还有那样的问题，有这样的不好的品格等等，我们也不应该过分的去这么考虑。
So we have to find the right balance.
所以我们也需要从中找到一个平衡。
Right, we don't want to be self-absorbed in thinking about our anarthas all the time. But at the same time, we want to be reflective and introspective.
我们呢也不想让自己完全就沉溺在了就是一直不断的在想自己的 anartha。我们同时呢也确实需要是反思反省的。
And be patient.
同时呢要保持耐心。
And pray to Krishna. And try our best. We just try our best.
同时向 Krishna 祈祷，我们呢就只是尽我们的最大努力就好了。
We just try our best to improve and be better. And over, you know, be aware of our...But not, you know, so much. So we have to be careful about that also.
所以呢我们就付出我们最好的努力去改善自己，我们去知觉到自己的这个存在的问题，但同时呢我们也不要过多的过度的沉迷于陷于自己的问题当中。
And,
需要一个恰当的平衡。
You know, step by step, you, Krishna will reveal also.
所以一步一步的 Krishna 将会揭示他自己。
So, ultimately, we just try our best.
所以呢，终极来说呢，我们就只需要付出我们最大的努力。
So, yes.Okay, la. So I think we finished.
I think our today's lecture is finished.
I went a bit longer today because
今天稍微就是拖了点堂，因为
I'm going to be giving class every other week, so we won't be having every Thursday, but every other Thursday.
Oh.我呢以后将会每两周在周四早上给大家讲一次课。
And the other Thursday, they have arranged for Ramapad Swami to give a talk.
在下一周呢，就是隔周的周四早上呢，他们会有人安排请 Ramapad Swami 给大家讲课。
So that's why I went a bit longer today because it's now it's every other week.
因为呢，我以后就是每两周讲一。每两周在周四早上讲一次课，所以就是为什么我今天花了更长的时间。
So the next class is 2 weeks. So next time we'll discuss about Agasura. That's the next chapter, chapter 12.
就在在隔一周的这个周四早上呢，我们来讲有关另外一个逍遥时光。
Agasura, chapter 12.
Agasura.在这个十二章的 Akasura 的逍遥时光。
So if you can read it in your own time, it's not so long, then that will give you some more background also.
如果你们在私下里的时间自己提前阅读的话呢，会给到你们有关背景的一些知识。
Okay, la. So thank you so much, Jamuna Priya.
And, thank you for your wonderful lecture.
Somoki Radha, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, 我们今天的讲课就到此结束。外坤纳之音服务愿意聆听，非常感谢我们尊敬的真的是一个帕布为我们讲述的精彩的早课。非常感谢我们主持人。非常感谢大家热情的聆听和提出来的这么多的好的问题，希望大家在 Krishna 知觉中度过快乐美好的一天。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.